And welcome to The Hot Flush, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Woog, and my glorious friend, bride-to-be.
Mrs. Berry. Do I have the glow of a bride-to-be?
You've got a slight sheen of a menopausal woman.
Oh, that's because I actually put moisturiser on
this morning. We've got a new tagline this week.
We do. A safe space, not a place for idiots.
And a special welcome to all our new listeners that have come across from a little mention in a little magazine called Women's Weekly this month.
I know.
Oh my God. So I'm on my best behaviour because all the old crew know
us.
Us. So now I feel like I'm like going to the Queen's house or something.
Look at me sitting up.
I am sitting up.
I know. You've got that gorgeous long cardi on that I really like, but that I never wear because the flapping around my legs would shit me.
See, this is what we talk about.
That's the first swear for the podcast. Maybe we should give a heads up to new listeners that there is a lot of swearing. There's a lot of oversharing. And sometimes we're incredibly all-encompassing and kind, and sometimes
we are not.
We're not.
Which brings us back to the a safe space.
A safe space, not an idiot space.
Because we don't tolerate
idiots.
Fools, yeah, because we're all about being foolish.
Yes. Just idiots. Just and don't be an idiot.
If you are on Facebook, make sure that you join our Facebook page, The Hot Flush.
Yes.
It's a closed site. It's a safe space.
It's a safe space, but just don't be an idiot. Right?
Are you enjoying the new light-filled studio today?
So I arrived today, dear listeners. And I walked into the kitchen.
Studio?
The studio. Yes, the studio. I can actually see the Sydney Opera House.
From my kitchen.
That is how la-di-da we now are.
I know. We have harbour views.
Harbour views. The arborist came this week and
He Edward Scissorhands the shit out of that tree.
It's like a horticultural Dresden out there.
You should see it down underneath before they cleaned it up.
But just right down the very back, like the block's quite deep and it steps down and the very back of the block I've never actually seen.
That's a nice little garden. That's where I thought we could have had your wedding.
Oh.
Don't you reckon? Like everyone milling around here.
You could have.
Anyway, a bit late for that now because that's happening in 2 weeks. Have you got any updates for us, new listeners? She is enfianced after a pretty average first shot at marriage, which produced four beautiful children.
I did give it a fair whack of the stick, as he will not attest to. I gave it a good 23 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good run.
Yeah.
Kinda. But it gave me another four beautiful boys.
Four beautiful boys. It ended in a dumpster fire, though. it wasn't a pretty end.
But do you know.
But it was swift.
This was something I wanted to touch on today, just about when you sort of fall back in love with your kids. And like, so we
when does that happen? Tell me.
I know, right? I think you have to get married the second time and then you're sort of reflecting on your life and you're reflecting on the love in your life and you look back and you realise this sort of that raising children is this grand love affair of just peak, hills and
pain.
Yeah, pain, like, and troughs and heartbreak and joy and every gamut. You're just not stroofing them, which would be illegal and weird and gross. So, yeah.
Are you taking on a side gig of writing the inside of Hallmark cards recently?
I know, right? But it's been the real moment of like, I just look at them and I'm just like, oh, God, I love you.
Oh, yeah. I get it too. I get it.
And I think
it's just, I've got one doing the HSC.
Oh,
and yeah.
Yeah, look, it doesn't stand. That rule doesn't apply if you've got a kid doing the HSC or a kid in year nine.
Yeah, absolutely.
that rule goes on hold until they return from the alien race.
About wedding update, please.
Where are you registered? I have picked up my. Yes, I'd like the Villeroy and dinner setting.
And the George Jensen water.
Oh.
Flute?
Well, really, you could get me anything from George Jensen. I'd be pretty happy about it. But except I do look at a lot of it and I go, where would I put it?
Yeah, and we got George Jensen for our wedding and like I don't even know where it is anymore.
The dust collectors and anyway. So I picked up my outfit.
Yes,
I picked up my outfit. And one part of it was too big. And Deb, who owns the shop where I got it from, Shane Avenue.
Shane Avenue. Where's your brother Wayne? Well, get in trouble again for being elitist.
Oh, God. How can we pick on every single subsection of the Sydney and
greater
area populations, like with equal vigour, and then get pulled up on the one that maybe has just had the most long-standing sort of, you know,
stereotype?
It's like, come on. We're talking about like eastern suburbs chicks, you know, snorting before, you know, their Special K or snorting their Special K. Jesus. Anyway, so she was just like, oh, have you lost weight? And I went, well, you're my best friend.
Have you lost weight?
No. I don't think so. No.
Well, obviously you have.
And, well, I think it might have
been. You've
been
on the tooth lately.
But do you remember when I was going to get measured and we went for breakfast first and I had breakfast gnocchi and a vanilla slice?
All right.
So the bloat could have been in full swing. But the bloat's in full swing this week. And I've had that little anxious thing of like, oh, my God, like the bloat's back. And well, not back. It's always there. But it's worse this week. And my joint pain's really bad. And I'm like, oh, don't. Oh. And then I'm like, mindfulness, meditate, like just hum.
We're going to talk about that later on in the
episode. So the wedding plans are going very well. We're having a little my makeup artist to the stars is we're having a little trial today.
Oh, who's that?
His name would be Jack Woog.
Oh, I hear he's very good.
He's
very excited.
I'm quite nervous that he's just going to look at my face and just sort of go, like, let out a sigh. I'm just like, where's the spatula?
Oh, yeah, you look great. Stop it.
I know. And do you know what? Like, I'm having dreams about the wedding and not one of them is an anxiety dream.
That's good.
They're all fun dreams, like all just exciting.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be the best.
It's going to be the best.
Well, we wish you could all come, but I will actually be doing some lives on the Hot Fuss website.
Oh, God, that'd be the
Facebook
best.
Facebook page. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Mm. So just the last little thing about being wistful. Felix was 21 on Monday. And, you know, I kind of feel like Oscar was his own kettle of fish because of his special needs and his disability. And then so Felix, in my head, I think there's some sort of like – he's like air quotes the first.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a difficult baby. And I feel like we were just in the trenches together. So we have that relationship that you have when you've been through that sort of space of 4.5 years of not sleeping, you know. And and you just look at him and go, far out, like, you're 21. I made you in my guts. And you still give me hugs and it's just great. It's just great. Except that's why we didn't podcast last weekend.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Because I got back. I did an early morning sunrise walk with my friend Sim around Long Reef Headland last
Sunday. Did you get
morning.
Some inspiration for your hall card writing?
Then we went for a coffee and then I got home and it was like 9:30 and I said, okay, I'm going over to Woog's to potty and then I'll come back. And he was already up, which I thought was weird. And he said, well, we've got to go and do some shopping. And I said, yeah, Rob and I got some stuff. Come and have a look. And he goes, yeah, they'll be here at 12:30. And I went, a what now?
A what? What time were they supposed to be here?
I told you it was a day party. And I was like, you did? And then it did actually in my head go, I remember that because I remember saying to him, oh, that's a nice idea. That's a really nice idea. And he goes, yeah, because it was a Sunday and some had to go to work on. Let me just say, they arrived, just gorgeous group of young adults. And, some were still there at midnight. So, you know.
You throw a good party.
So, yeah, my slow roasted pork was actually perfectly timed in the end because I staggered food throughout the afternoon.
We like to talk about food a lot too, don't we?
Yeah, we do talk about food. I did a big charcuterie platter, like, and Felix had been like, "Oh, that might be a bit, you know, their tastes aren't that fancy." Anyway, so I did two because you know, and big on the table, and I walked back inside and I could hear them all sort of just going, oh, "Felix, it's so fancy," and I was like, "Thank you," and then I did like a little bogan course of. Do you remember the cobblers?
Don't say bogan, you'll get in trouble.
Oh, I'll get in trouble. You know the cobblers with the sour cream and the spinach? Well, I did them from a recipe from my birth mother, from Helen, that's like a Mexican corn version.
Yum.
And so I did those. And, of course, they came out just as they were really hit, you know,
hitting the piss.
Stride. And so it was hot, you know, and cheesy and spicy and that gone. And then I did the pork like about an hour and a half, 2 hours after that. So it was just this sort of staggered like.
Yummy.
Yeah, it was great. It was so good.
Yum.
And then we went to fancy Mr. Wong's on Monday night.
Oh, Mr. Wong. I've got bad, bad memories of Mr. Wong's.
Why?
I've been a few times, but the first time I went, I just got off a flight from Indonesia where I'd sat before the flight and went, I wouldn't mind a gin and tonic.
Oh, it had...
with dead, dirty ice in it.
Yeah.
So when I was sitting there and everyone was like, would you like a glass of champagne? I was like, yeah, no, I don't. And everyone knew then that something was not right.
Something was not right.
And I couldn't eat anything and then I just went up to the bathroom and...
That was it.
That was it. That was my Mr. Wong's debut experience.
Oh, that's sad.
It was very sad because someone else was paying.
And that's when you want to go to Mr. Wong. It's like, you know, what did you get Felix for his birthday? A dinner at Mr. Wong.
Yeah. Yeah. One that we took lots of photos of.
Yeah.
And I'll put that in a frame.
Oh, food was so good.
I know.
Anyway, that's enough of me gasbagging about family reminiscing and Hallmark carding. But yeah, the wedding plans are underway and we're all very excited and I just can't wait I can't wait.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, come on, let's do it.
Okay, moving on. We've got a histo update. A histo. There was a setback last week, Mrs. Berry.
What happened?
I have had an ongoing niggle shoulder.
Yes, yes.
And I couldn't work out what it was from, so I consulted Dr. Google.
Yeah.
And a few proper doctors.
Yeah.
When you have a hysterectomy, laparoscopy, whatever that.
Yeah, you know,
laparoscopy.
Yeah.
You actually get tilted
back and the gas goes up to your shoulders
and then they fill you up with gas and yes. There's some nerve that can be particularly susceptible to hanging on to that gas and then that little bit of gas went up to my shoulder and caused so much pain for about 2 weeks and then it escalated into me ringing my mum saying you've got to come and get me, I'm really sick and I can't do this.
Wow.
I went out to mum's for a day and God, spent 24 hours just in agonizing pain, so much so the doctor said, you have to go to the emergency room. And I was like, I'm not going to the emergency room. Friday night, can you just press pause for a sec, please?
Yeah.
And anyway, so I ended up talking myself out of being chronically ill. I'm sure I did.
Okay.
No, and then I just, mum kept giving me this fizzy effervescent shit. That just made you
burp
and fart.
What was it?
It was, I've got it here.
Oh, well.
Product shout out.
Oh, Eno's? She was giving you Eno's?
Yes.
And what?
It's quite nice if you whack a shot of vodka in it.
Oh, my God. You did.
No, dear. Of course not. God, the thought of alcohol. Ugh.
Relief of heartburn and acid indigestion. Was it indigestion?
No.
No, it was trapped gas.
Anyway, this is a good conversation. All I'm saying is that I'm 9 weeks, or was 8 weeks post-hysterectomy. Someone was talking about in the page that they were 14 days post-hysterectomy.
And they're not feeling great.
And everyone was so kind and just said, honey, it can take 6 months.
Yeah.
It can take six months.
Yeah. You know, we forget.
This is going to segue nicely into our next topic.
We forget that this is a major abdominal surgery. And not just that, it's then also all of the emotional luggage that goes with that. You know, this is a cornerstone of what many people think of in terms of their womanness or their femaleness or who they are. And so, A, you're having a major operation. Like
and
major.
I can't stress that enough to you because I didn't realise.
No.
It's like having a baby. No one, you know, everyone can tell you but no one will.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember when I had a kid, when I had one of the boys, and then I was like, what do you mean I am meant to just be up and about in a couple of days, back out doing shopping as if nothing's ever happened? I should be on a pedestal. There should be flowers at my feet and choirs of angels every time I draw breath. Like, this is outrageous. And it's like when I had my gallbladder out, the surgeon said to me, this is one of the only downfalls of keyhole surgery is there's not a huge wound. There's not a huge wound site. And so people just go, oh.
Look at that. That's it.
Good to go.
Oh, what's happening on the inside is very different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but you, with your magical, mystical mind powers, yes, have cured your
self. Had nothing to do with like the burping and farting. I didn't sleep one wink.
Oh God.
Anyway. That's the histo update. Apart from that, still so glad I did it. My God, not having periods and period pain and flooding and PMS and all of this, absolutely 100% worth it for me.
Yes, for you. Me. For your case, yeah, it was
I'm
the
not
correct.
I'm saying that that's a Band-Aid for everyone, but for me, it's been worth it.
I would like to say that I had my period this week and it came after 36 days from the last one, which had arrived after 110 days and was basically every period that I would have had within that 110 days in the space of five. So
it came in like a wrecking ball.
It literally came in like a wrecking ball. And this one was really almost perfectly civilised. And it was the first period that I'd had where I'd just used
Did it invite itself in saying, I'm going to come now?
Well, I said to Rob, I said, I think I might be getting my period again. I said, my boobs are a bit sore and I'm pretty cranky. Like I've just rankled. I'm not raging bull cranky, but it was, you know that, you know, you just get that, you bristle.
The irrits.
It's the irrits. Mm. And sure enough, but it was the first period I've had where I just used my juju cup and I used it in the last one, but because
a juju cup is a little silicon.
It's like a moon cup silicon that you put
whack
in.
Whack up your twat.
Yeah. So much better than I thought, how can that go up there and not, you can't feel it. What, like, come on. And then you just don't. You put it in.
It was like a tampon, I suppose. You don't feel that.
But it doesn't. Well, you see, I always kind of did. And then.
You've got a wide set vagina.
She's very sensitive. She's precious. She's like, it's like the princess and the pea down there. Yes. So I'm really impressed. It was really good. And some people are skeeved out by it because.
But what happens if you're at Westfield or something like that?
Well, technically, you should be able to leave it in there for 8 hours. So you kind of shouldn't need to be getting it out at Westfield.
Because you know how they don't have hand washing facilities in the cubicles.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So
man designed those.
I would, you know, I mean, I would just say that if you felt, you know, you had to change it or rinse it, I'd just use the disabled toilet.
Mm.
Which is all contained, you know, obviously all contained. Yep. Anyway, so that was great, because I was actually thinking.
Because you're wearing a white dress the day before the wedding and I was thinking,
And I was sort of going, and I was trying to work out that when this period arrived, I went, oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Period during when I'm getting married. Anyway, look at that. We've covered being gassy, periods.
No wonder we're an award-winning.
Sticking a cup up. Do we need to clarify
this
that?
This is so funny. In the piece in the Women's Weekly this month's Women's Weekly.
Yes, it said that we're irony. It said that we're an award winner. And if they actually – that actually just – it was a copywriting mistake from our tagline, which is a non-award winning. We're a non-award winning podcast.
So if you're here thinking, they're award winning, they must be good.
Yeah.
Think again, my friend.
Move right along. Nothing to see here. You had a mammogram.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say, what a spectacular pair of norks you have.
Oh, thank you. I did share a photo. And that seems to be the general feedback that I got from sharing that with family and friends, like, amazing boobs.
I've never had one.
Okay.
Does it hurt?
No.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Oh.
It's not. They're not being licked on by kittens or anything like that. I mean,
I don't think a kitten licking your nip would actually feel that good. But I'm just. It's so rough. Like sandpaper.
Anyway, I went to the Mater and I just thank God for smart people who are good at their jobs. Honestly, it was just smooth sailing. We did find a lump, which...
Are we concerned?
No. The you know, you do get a bit concerned when they take five photos and the doctor keeps coming back and saying, oh, just do one more. And then the radiographer has a good old go and then goes to show the doctor.
I would be crying by that point.
And then the doctor comes in. Oh, press pause. So they did find a lump and then the doctor did come in, which is not normally something that happens, but I was, again, being of positive mindset, which is something we're going to talk about soon.
Yes.
And I said, and she said, oh, look, we'll get a biopsy next week. I think it's just a bit of calcium.
Right.
And I said, how does that happen? And then she said, how does anything happen? I said, yeah, fair enough.
bodies are a mysterious place.
But it is enough to make you sort of freak out a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I'm 99.9% sure that it's nothing.
Yeah. And look at you being proactive and going and having it done and like a grown up.
Like a grown up. And if I hadn't have had it done and it was something sinister, then I'd be up shit's creek. So go and get your boob squished. Yes. Why haven't you had yours done yet?
Because I've got no lumps or anything.
Yeah, still.
See, I do my breast checks and and I think it's once you're over 50 that you're
meant
to go.
You're almost there, mate.
I'm almost there. I've got a year and a half to go. Just settle down.
So I am going to segue that into my next section called Mrs. Woog Moves Her Mind Into Mindfulness. Because I don't know about you, Kim, but I've had a C-U-N-T of a year. You know,
I don't want to alarm you, but we've been doing this for 5 years.
Have we really?
Yeah.
And we've not won one award.
I've not won one award.
Not even a participation ribbon.
No. Lots of accolades.
Lots of media attention.
Yes. Well, not that
That's
much.
That's not going to pay us, though.
No, but
we've met lots of wonderful people.
I just
people.
Wanted to point out to you that we have actually covered off on mindfulness quite a lot.
No, but this is new.
This is new mindfulness.
This is new because it's mine.
Yes.
Because I've always sort of, it was a bit mindfulness like.
You are so full of it. You talk about this all the time.
Well, I can change my mind.
She so can.
I so can. So anyway, I've been waking up all year going, oh, another day.
Yeah,
My shoulder hurts. My husband's broken his leg and he's walking around on a broken leg for 6 weeks.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
So instead of like being a doommeister, I've started to become a little bit more chirpy in the mornings, and that sets me up for a good day. You stop looking at me like that.
No, that's genuine excitement that you're actually
– part of that.
So what do you do? Instead of waking up and going, ugh, what do you do?
Well, I go and do a wee.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I put the radio on loud in the kitchen and I pour the coffee and I open the windows and I look at my view.
Yeah.
And I realise it ain't all bad. Yeah. And why really do I have a reason to be miserable? Yeah. Also, I'm taking HRT, which might have something to do with that.
You think that your estrogen gel might be helping
my estrogen gel.
You think it might be kicking you?
Yeah, I think now that I stop to think about it, that's what's going on.
No, it's your mindfulness.
It's my estrogen gel. It makes you sleep better too, so maybe that has something to do with it as
yeah,
well.
Look, you're getting quality sleep. A monthly or irregular event that was severely physically debilitating for you has stopped, and you are having a supporting therapy that's putting something that's being depleted in you back into you.
And Zoloft and a shrink.
Yeah.
There's the magical recipe.
I'm just like, you know, I've now been having some form of psychiatric care for, you know, 21 and a half years, medicated, a fuck ton of cognitive behaviour therapy on myself, so much work on myself. And now I'm sort of, you know, now I'm at a point where when I add other things to it, like I have my ADHD diagnosis, I just tickety-boo. We're just going to press pause. My therapy.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Mm. And, and so, again, if you do the work.
I know.
If you do
Some
the work.
Some people just sail through life. Yeah. But they're just simpletons.
I know. But you know,
complex characters are much more interesting.
Much more interesting, much more exhausting. But the but the payoff is worth it.
Oh yeah. Because you've got good stories to tell at dinner parties. Mm. Like the time that I just go crying in the gutter because the kids were screaming in the car. No, it wouldn't.
Well, when we were reminiscing the other day about some key memories of each of the boys, and you know, and one of them was Felix at the checkout in Woolies as I was just pulling things out of the trolley and I was reaching over to get stuff out of the trolley and he just went, "Don't hit me." Bastard. Little bastard. And they had peals of laughter just about how great that was. Oh, God. I was going to tell you something about from a podcast that I was listening to this week that I'm listening to for my uni work. And it was talking about it's called forced quitting. And
I don't like that already.
No, so the notion is that when we get comfortable, we get really comfortable in our what we're doing and where we're at, and sometimes we don't take the risk or we don't change it up because we think we don't think about what we could gain. We're focused too much on what we could lose. Mm. And one of the things they were talking about was actually in dating, mm-hmm. and that when you're dating, you are so pinned on whether that person would be someone you could end up being with that you raise the stakes so high.
And so there's pressure straight away.
So you just discount all these people or all these opportunities or potentials. And what is another way of looking at it is you have, you know, a certain number of dates that you're going on with people who, yeah, you are sort of fit into the mold that you sort of imagine yourself with, but that you also allow space to go out with people who would not be someone you would normally choose. Mm. And because you just don't know what's going to come from that. Like there are benefits that you're not seeing because you're so risk averse in terms of.
Oh, well, you're protecting your heart. Well, you're protecting heart, everything.
Well, yeah, and the same with the job. And one of the things this person was saying was, you know, if you're thinking about should I quit my job or should I stay, if you're actually even asking yourself that,
then you need to quit.
Then you know what the answer is. But it was just a really interesting sort of thing, particularly I think for a lot of us at this time in our lives where there is so much invested in our current lives that to take a risk or to force quit something is scary, but it can be worth it.
Oh yes.
And so,
but that also comes with confidence, and I think a lot of women in our age bracket, you start to break down your confidence a bit because your kids are big now and like, where is my place in the world? Yes. So that's why I look at people like Jane Caro and Julia Gillard and those people who are just bloody fired up in this later stage in life, and it gives me some sort of inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of women particularly are not in a financial position to be doing, but there are other aspects of your life where you could find that ability to do something that really is for yourself and really is for your own development and your own possibilities. It was just such a great thing. So it's called Changeology. It's been around for a while. It's
can
been
you put
going
it in the
since,
show notes?
Oh, our show notes. They're always extensive, aren't they?
Changeology.
Changeology. It's been going since like 2018. The episodes are short.
Not as long as us.
I'm actually listening to it because it's all about change. It's all about behavioural economics and game theory and that sort of stuff. But it does it in really it's bite-sized pieces, and it's very easy listening and interesting. The other reason I was saying that was I wouldn't be with Rob if I hadn't done that.
No.
Like I went into the whole dating thing of going, I'm not looking for a partner. I just want to have some fun. Mm. And if it's a disaster, I literally did say to myself,
but those disasters were the funniest stories ever.
It's just good. It's
if
just good
here,
content.
Go back. I can't remember what episode, but I think it is.
Oh my God!
She goes through her whole dating with nothing left out. Let me tell you. Oh, it's glorious.
But, you know, and that's and look, not everyone is like that. Not everyone's
of
an extrovert. Not everyone, but you find your playing field in that space of like, I'm going to go out with, and yeah, it's just going to be good content.
Yeah, I always thought if I was single and doing that dating, I'd just assume everything's going to be a disaster.
Yes.
And let's just laugh and yes. have some fun with it.
Exactly. I would never, like, the reason I swiped right on Rob was because, well, his little bio thing was funny in a very smart way. And there was just a picture of him sort of standing, he was on the top of Mount Wellington or something in Hobart, and his arms were just outstretched and he was sort of smiling, and I just went, you look interesting. Like, it wasn't like a, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, curious.
But we do have to remind that, you know, the OG of the group will know this, but when she first started internet dating, she was like, I like walks on the beach. And she had like, and I'm looking for someone. And then she got pissed with some girlfriends, and then she got her boobs out and she was like, I just want to get laid. Basically, that's all you said.
Pretty much. Just looking for a pash. And if it meant for anything for that.
Open the floodgates of possibilities.
That brought the boys to the yard.
And then you didn't waste any time. You I were like, thank you, next.
Yes.
Thank you, next. Thank it you, was, I'll give you a shag.
It was a sordid couple of months.
It was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
We were all just like hanging
out. I know. I would spend more time post-date, like on the phone to all the girls.
And they were like, oh, what shoes was he wearing?
Yeah. What shoes was he wearing? Was he hairy? What's his dick like? He did what? You did what?
Yes, and you have to actually now go and find that episode because she does deflower a virgin.
I did, yeah. The BDV, Banana Dick Virgin. I wonder where he is now. I wonder if he is actually wearing that leather cuff that I left behind on his cock, as so many friends so thoughtfully tell me. I really miss that. I never found it again. I never found another one like it. It's very
exciting. You could always go back and get it.
Oh, God. That was a long time ago now. Like, it was like 5 years, like 6 years ago. Isn't that amazing? It feels like it was 3 years ago. Anyway, that's enough of that. Did we do a reader's question or not?
No, we didn't do a reader's question.
Oh, we didn't. So that's it for today.
No. There is one thing that we need to discuss.
Oh.
Men.
Yes.
I'm just going to sit back for a minute here and let Kim take this one.
We are very, very conscious that the hot flush is, you know, for all types of people. We do not want this to be a man bashing, husband bashing.
We love them.
You know, male hating space. But every now and then their behaviour is mystifying. And I even had a time this week with Rob where I had to sort of pull him up and just go, if you do not sort your shit out, you are going to miss it. As in the joy and the wonder of life at the moment. But that pales into insignificance to what Mrs. Woog has been dealing with in the last six weeks.
So 6 weeks ago, I had just come home from a hysterectomy into a house. Mr. Woog was in a frenzy because all of his OCD was out of kilter because everything wasn't right because I was infirmed.
Yes.
Once I started feeling better, he said, I'm going to go to Mount Kosciuszko for 3 nights and ride my dirt bike with my mates. And I said, I think that's a great idea, because he had been working all day and then all evening.
Yep.
Doing all the things.
Needed to go, have a break,
yeah.
Do that crazy throwing himself down tracks.
Did he have a break? Did he have a break?
Oh, he had a literal and a metaphorical break. Literal and what would it be?
Physical?
Anyway.
Oh, you know what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
So he kamikazed himself off his dirt bike. This man is 47, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kamikazed himself on his dirt bike and when he did come home, he was limping. And I said, what's happened? And he goes, oh, I've come off my bike, I've sprained my ankle. And then I'm going to hand over to Kim now because it makes me that mad.
So I then see that I come over and was it 2 weeks later or 4 weeks later? I think it was 4 weeks. And he gets up and he's walking towards me. I go, why are you limping? Because there was an earlier limp that he ended up
gout related.
And he ended up, you know, going and seeing my musculoskeletal specialist, who then actually in sort of basically made him inflicted pain, and so he never went back. But this, so I'm very attuned to Mr. Woog when he is limping, and he went, "Oh, I sprained my ankle." And I look at it and it's swollen and his foot's purple, and I'm like, "Why isn't it strapped?" And he said, "Oh, when I strap it, it swells more." And I said, "You don't think that's like a red flag? You shouldn't. That's probably a sign that you should probably go and get it looked at." He goes, "No, it's getting better. It's getting better." I'm like, "Uh-huh." Right. Fast forward another 2 weeks, and he actually takes himself to the hospital, not just to his GP, but like to the hospital.
Now, this was the night that I chose to have my shoulder gastric episode being called out to my mother's house for care. So he's in the ER. I'm being taken to the ER, even though I just refused to go. Anyway, he had an X-ray.
Broken
leg. He had been walking around for six weeks on a broken leg, which had now fused together in the wrong areas.
Yeah.
And he had to go and have it rebroken and strapped. So he's got plates and pins and moon boots. And, oh, my God, his surgeon was the hottest man I've ever
really?
Seen. I've got photos. I'll show you after the episode. Hello.
I have to say, like when I had my back surgery, my back surgeon was not a picture, but the young orthopaed like registrars, hello.
I know.
Come and explain to me how my back, like how the vertebrae sit against each other again.
Anyway, so now he's this is his first week at home. I've had to move the bedroom downstairs.
Yeah, his bed is in the living room.
In the living room.
Which I think is hilarious because he had such opinions about the Smokey Dawson chair coming into the house. And now he's actually got a whole bed in there.
We have two Smokey Dawsons. So anyway, he's a miserable see you next Tuesday, and I'm taking it day by day.
It doesn't help that Mr. Woog is a very, very active man.
I know.
So every day, like he does
extreme
not.
Extreme sports.
He doesn't sit still. Like he does, he doesn't. He
can't.
He goes at 100% or he's asleep. That's it. Like he will go, and then he'll say to me, "I'm going for a nap." I go, "Okay." And he goes and has a nap. And then when he's back up, he's off again.
Off again. Yeah. So this isn't been so fun for him.
Not,
it hasn't been fun for me. But again, looking for the good. I can't find the good in that right now.
And we were talking about this earlier because I know that there's a level within all of us, and there are female orientating people who have this situation where they will do exactly the same thing. Like, "Oh, I've got this thing and I'm really nervous about what it is, so I'm just going to pretend it's not there." But I would say the percentage of women who do that to the percentage of men is infinitesimal, because we all know that it takes a village. We are not islands, and that we have to be functioning at 100% for everything else around us to be functioning at 100%. He goes and throws himself off a cliff, and then he's like, "I've got a really sore leg, but I'm just going to ignore it and hopefully it will go away," until it reaches a point he has to have surgery and now in a boot, and his house has to be reorganized and he's incapacitated.
And he's always here.
And he's and the mental, like what he's like as a human then for everyone else in the house.
Yeah.
Like it's just – they just don't get it. They drives don't get it. And insane.
We are going to wrap up now. We are not a man-hating podcast.
No, we adore them. We adore them.
We married them. We made six of them, yes, for God's sake.
I know. I look at mine and just go, my heart is going to explode. Oh, okay. So anyone who comes back saying some sort of man-hating, I just want you to remember – we are a safe space, not an idiot space.
Okay.
The other thing, last thing.
I'm trying to round this up.
Watched
now.
The Pink doco on Prime. Amazing. She is amazing.
Is this the one from years ago?
No. It's just released.
Oh, okay.
It's about being on tour and being a mum. It's, oh, my God. I cried like four times.
Okay. Well, that's I think we might try and squeeze one in next week before the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
We might have a virtual hen's party. We'll do something quite fun. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you to all our new listeners. There is a Patreon page. It's very good value for money, must say.
Yes.
You take care. And as we like to say,
just keep plucking.